Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the 22nd day of August, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is prophecies come true. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. For my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumri Ambith. Again, callers will be welcome later on in the broadcast. We do ask that you monitor your language and also be polite to other callers who might be on at the same time. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody is muted upon entering the call until you indicate to me you wish to speak. On a phone, you press star 6. On a computer, click on a button that probably says ask question. Thank you, Ella. Our website is pastordan.net, and that's Pastor Dan with no spaces, just straight across, pastordan.net, not com, net. We do have the Daily Mail page there. I just updated it before the show. And praise Yahweh, I ordered a high-gain antenna-type setup for my computer, and it's improving the download and upload speeds dramatically. So praise the Father for little gifts like that. So hopefully we'll have no latency in the signals, so there'll be no interruptions and warbles and such things as that. If there are, then Ella or any of the other listeners, if you could send me a text and let me know that. A greeting to our various cousins out there. Mes parents français, bienvenue à l'appel. Amis parientes espagnoles, bienvenidos a la llamada. And zu meinen deutschen Verwandten, willkommen beim Anruf. So all those three languages, of course, French, Spanish, and German, are just saying welcome to my cousins in these other lands and welcome to the call. A lot of controversy going on right now. We are living in the last days. There is absolutely no doubt about that. We're also living in the last days prophecies for the most part. And so we have an avalanche of information starting to come forth. As Yahweh Father said, I will reveal all things that have been hidden up to this point, and that's exactly what's happening. And so it's creating, like I said, an avalanche of information. You still have to have some discernment because we do have deceivers still at work. So stay tuned and stay tuned in to your Heavenly Father. One of the things that's coming out is this whole medical mafia, lackadaisical, farcical show, we'll call it a show, a facade that's going on, not just about this virus that doesn't exist or a pandemic that does not exist, but that the whole medical mafia and the pharmaceuticals, again, led by our friends, the Zionist Jews, has been lying and deceiving for a very, very long time. I just listened to an interview with Dr. Lee Merritt and Mike Adams, the health ranger. Now, whether you like these two individuals or not, I really don't give a damn. I'm sick and tired of people nitpicking stuff based on this or that. When it is the information that they're presenting, is it true or not? Okay, now does Mike Adams every now and then put in his anti-German bullshit? Yeah, but in this interview, he did not. And they stuck to the point, and Dr. Lee Merritt basically reinforced everything that we've been talking about for a year and a half, the fact that there is no such thing as this virus. The tests do not test for a virus. The tests are completely bogus. The vaccines are not vaccines, they are poisons, and that they are harming many, many people. So once again, there are credible people out there, if anybody cares to listen, and they are exposing this. So once again, if you are a truth seeker, Yahweh has provided the truths to lead you out of this storm of misinformation. But if you're not a truth seeker, you're going to do what? You're going to suffer and possibly die. Okay? You cannot be ignorant and free. That is a saying by one of our founding fathers. I can't remember which one. Doesn't matter, does it? But you cannot be ignorant and free. They don't go together. George Washington, Ben Franklin, all the founding fathers reiterated that common sense adage. Ignorance and freedom don't go together. It's an oxymoron. So you must choose one or the other. Are you free, or do you wish to remain ignorant, suffer, and die? And watch loved ones die. In my own circle of friends and family, I've watched people die. Okay? Now, a lot of people out there, you've become somewhat feminized, and a lot of the men have, because of the estrogen that's in our water tables, and there are other things too, like fluoride and whatnot. But a lot of people are so squeamish today when the subject of death comes up that they turn off their brains, they turn off their common sense. It was kind of interesting. I went to talk to my neighbor, and he had there's a show called Alone on there, and this is a survivalist show. So while I'm chatting with him, I went ahead and watched a little piece of one of the episodes. Now, these are people that are dropped in a remote area all by themselves, separated from each other, and they have to survive on their own. And this is a man in this situation. He's supposed to be a tough guy, and he's getting all emotional about the fact that he has to shoot birds and small game with a bow and arrow and kill them so that he can survive. He's getting emotional. He's almost crying. Wake the hell up. This is what poses for male today. This is what men are all about. You're going to get weepy because you have to kill a mouse or a bird so you can eat. Of course you're not to harm animals and cause them distress or whatever. You shouldn't torture them. I grew up with a guy, he thought it was funny to take rabbits and beat them over the head with a rock. Until one day he was on my farm and I was mowing hay with a tractor and a mower. And he was riding on the tractor with me, and he jumps off real quick one time, which is not something you want to do when a guy's got a great big cutter bar out there that's cutting the hay. That could end up taking your foot off. But he jumped off my tractor and goes running, and I see him with this rock, and he's crushing something. And it turns out to be a rabbit. I went up to him. His name was Dave. And I said, Dave, if I see you do anything like that ever again, you will never come on my property. And so he didn't. I said, it's bad enough that I know you do it at all on your own property, but if I ever catch you doing that on this property, and we had 70 acres, I said, you will never step foot again. I said, I consider that sick. So again, you don't harm or torture animals, but the fact that you have to kill animals in order to survive and eat, you and your family, I mean, come on. But that shows you where we're at today. Everything's emotionalism. And who wins when we become emotional? Because the enemy knows that as soon as you become emotional, you shut your rational brain off. And that's what's happening in society. Now, for you ladies out there, you are emotional creatures. Just the way you were made, you're emotional creatures. Now you throw in all the anxiety with this fake pandemic, and the anxiety that's been created in the economic area because of the fake pandemic and irresponsible government spending, then you throw in the tensions on relationships that are completely effed up today. It's just unbelievable. Okay. Again, all of this is because we have turned our back on the writings of the prophets and the testimony of Yahshua HaMashiach. We've turned our back on all of that, which gave us common sense answers to many of these problems. And so we're seeing this utter chaos all around us. So we're living in a time where you're witnessing biblical prophecy coming to life. You're in the middle of this storm. And the main reason it's a storm is your lack of faith, folks. Really, if you strip away all of the bullshit, you will see a tremendous lack of faith by the average person. Even within our circles that know who's who in the zoo, you'll still find occasionally the lack of faith. You don't take that time to listen to the inner voice that's trying to straighten your ass out. Okay, well, you can do that, but you do it to your own chagrin, to your own shame. Okay? Now, one of the things that Dr. Merrick and Mike Adams were talking about was this, they touched on the difference between germ theory and terrain theory. Okay, now a lot of people are just now hearing about this, which is understandable because our learning institutions are more of an indoctrination system rather than an education system. That's obvious. So you have to educate yourself, which I'm really happy to see people like Mike Adams and Dr. Merritt and Sherry Tenpenny and Simone Gold and Dr. Kaufman, all these different people with credentials are now opening their eyes to the fact we've all been lied to and deceived. All of us have. So anyway, they touch on this. These two different theories, germ theory and terrain theory. Now, Louis Pasteur, the Frenchman, in fact, both of these men are Frenchmen. Louis Pasteur is the guy that the money people supported, and his theory was the germ theory. In other words, it's germs that cause disease and illness in the body. Now, why did he get all the money and support and the publicity? Well, for the same reason that a Barack Obama or a Schumer or a Pelosi get the airtime in the press, because they have no scruples and their lie fits in with the narrative of the Zionists in their goal to take over the world. And people say, oh, Dan, that's ridiculous. Well, no, it's not. If you just read the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, you will see that that is exactly what their goal is, not to mention many speeches by rabbis and prominent Jews throughout history, and some of them in very recent history. So taking over the world and subduing the slave races, which is what you and I are, in their lingo, we're called the goyim, which just means a member of a herd of animals, okay, like cattle. Doesn't have to be cattle, but like cattle. In other words, you're a beast of burden. You're part of a herd. So goyim, when they call you goyim, that's what they're saying. You have the status of an animal. And you will be treated like an animal. Basically, you're here for our use and abuse. And when you're no longer useful to us, we will discard you like you do animals. Up to and including execution, death, torture, maiming, sexual trading, organ harvesting, or drinking of your blood. All of those are acceptable to the Jew because you're just a animal after all. That's why aborting your children and using their body parts to make money is completely acceptable, because it's no different than dissecting a frog or butchering a cow. Do you start to see the picture? So they're having this argument over germ theory and terrain theory, and again, Louis Pasteur being the prostitute that he was, much like Copernicus was the prostitute that came up with the globe earth theory. Okay, and again, it's a theory because you folks, you don't have proof one way or the other. So all you people that are naysayers about the idea that we live in a terrarium of sorts with a firmament, as the Bible describes it, you people are naysayers because, oh, that's ridiculous. Really? Well, until Copernicus, who was paid through the Catholic Church, which has always been a Jewish-run organization, through the Jesuits, okay, when he was paid, all of a sudden, the theory comes out, it's popularized, much like Louis Pasteur's was, and you no longer believe that you're special in a very special place. You've bought into this spinning around on a ball out in the middle of nowhere, just a minuscule little speck of dust in this gigantic vacuum. Well, if you wish to believe that, that's fine. But we all know where it came from. And in 1488, if you don't like that, please, you can always tune into another channel, all right? Please do us a favor. If this offends you, then tune into another channel. You don't have to listen. Nobody's put a gun to anybody's head or paying you to stay here and listen. You have that prerogative. All right? So anyway, they're getting into the germ theory versus terrain theory. Pasteur supported the idea that everything's caused by germs, whereas Dr. Bacomp, who was every bit as prominent and educated and forthright, but he had integrity, he didn't fall for the lies. His theory was that everything has to do with the terrain, and the terrain, of course, is your body and how you take care of your body. So when you start eating junk food, when you stop drinking pure water, you start having bad habits, the terrain, your body, diminishes, which allows things to deteriorate, and you call it illness. Really, it is disease. Ralph says here that he heard that Louis Pasteur was Jewish. It could very well be. Could very well be. So, again, the terrain theory makes perfect sense because your body is a perfect mechanism that was created by our Heavenly Father. And the very word disease comes from it's a compound word, dis meaning from, ease meaning balance. Okay, if your body is at ease, just like in the military when they told you at ease, okay, that means to relax. Everything's balanced. Okay, everything's in harmony, so to speak. So dis-ease is to take away from the balance or the harmony. So when your body is in perfect balance and harmony, you don't get sick. You don't have a problem. It's when you become imbalanced. The whole idea of holistic medicine, since I went to the classes and learned it, it makes perfect sense. Holistic medicine is built around the idea that when you bring the body back into balance, everything fixes itself. You don't need electron microscopes. You don't need pharmaceuticals, you don't need all of this garbage that the modern world tells you in order to stay healthy or to diagnose and all this other crap, because most of the time they're wrong anyway. I can't tell you how many of my own personal relatives, including my son, who almost died because the medical professionals misdiagnosed what was going on. So even with all this modern crap, they still get it wrong. Whereas the holistic people are saying, well, instead of wasting all our time trying to play like we're gods and experts, why don't we just work on getting the body back to ease so that we stop feeling bad? Things stop tearing down and breaking down. In fact, it is also known that what they call viruses are nothing more than cellular debris that come about when the body is in disease or not at balance and things are breaking down. These little particles show up. Basically, they're like excrement or poop coming out of the cells, and they're calling them, quote, viruses. And I remember in school that they even said a virus is a non-living particle. Now, did you catch what I just said? A non-living. It's not alive. It has no intelligence about it. It can't go out and go, well, it's above 75 degrees, but I'm going to go ahead and live anyway, even though Fauci and the rest of them told us above 75 degrees it dies. It's already dead. So how does it die? You see what the irony and the ludicrousness of all this garbage that's going on? If you just get back to the simple things, it all works out. So your body is in disease, a state of imbalance. Things don't work. And it means a hormonal imbalance, which will cause emotional problems. It could be a chemical imbalance, which would cause, again, emotional problems, or show up as a breakdown of an organ or whatever. But again, the trick is to bring everything back into balance. When everything's back into balance, you feel good, you have a good attitude, you can think straight, you can communicate well, your emotions are in check, your organs function properly, you get plenty of good sleep, everything else, okay? It's only when it gets into imbalance. So what did the mainstream medical people push? They pushed Louis Pasteur and his germ theory because why? There's money in it. Once again, here at the end of the age, if you want to figure out what's going on, we'll go back to what my grandfather told me when I was a little boy. If you want to figure out what's going on, follow the money. I still remember the day he said it to me. It stuck like a knife. Follow the money. And I said, oh, that makes perfect sense. Ella says that the sound signal is excellent with no distortion, so that's good. Our new antennas are working great, and fear and stress cause disease. Yeah, fear and stress. What is the Jewish controlled media doing? Fear. False evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. So they pump the fear. It creates the stress. Now you've got the exact thing they want, which is you being an emotional wreck and a physical wreck. Once again, the Jew makes money because they own the medical schools. They run the pharmacies. They are the predominant number in psychology and psychiatric care, which is a pseudoscience, by the way, which means a false science. Psychiatry and psychology is nothing more than Jewish bullshit. All right? If you need any kind of psychiatric care, just open up your Bible. Start reading the scriptures, especially the Psalms and the Proverbs, okay? If you're having any kind of issues there, go read them, because that's where the most intense amount of wisdom in scripture is, in the Psalms and the Proverbs. And if that doesn't straighten you out, well, shame on you. But here again, if you're having an emotional issue, nine times out of 10, your body is not balanced. And I got news for you. I even had a son do this to me. Okay? Yeah, Dad, I'm eating right, but I still got irritable bowel problems, or I still have constipation or what, but you're eating right. Yeah, Dad. Oh yeah, I'm doing great. Well, what you find out is that sometimes your family even lies to you. And I found that in a lot of the people I've tried to help with holistic medicine advice, same thing. They're telling you one thing, but the truth of the matter is no, because they're lazy or they just want to do what they want to do. And they make excuses for it. So when they should be cleaning up their act on what they're eating and drinking, instead they're just doing what they normally do and then wonder why they're still sick or they still have some sort of imbalance. I got news for you. Just like scripture says, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that you're following Messiah and yet going through the world doing your own thing. You can't have it both ways, folks. You either believe in him and follow him and his way, or you don't. You can't have it both ways. Same thing with the health thing. If you're going to do it your way, then shut the hell up and don't bother calling the doctors or me or anybody else asking us what you can do to fix it, because you're not going to do it anyway. When I got to meet Mike recently and his family, his dad was suffering from gout. I told him exactly what he needed to do because I got over it 20-some years ago by doing the right things. And Mike looked at me and said, Dan, you don't need to tell my dad anymore. I said, why not? He said, because he's not going to do anything you just said. He's going to sit here. He's going to nod his head. He's going to say, yeah, you're right. But when we get home, he's going to grab his chips. He's going to grab his soda pop, and he's going to keep eating and doing the things he was doing. And Mike's dad is like probably 80% of the people out there. They want help. They love to bitch about their conditions. But when it gets down to actually making a change or fixing something, they're nowhere to be found. Okay? What's that old saying about insanity? People who do the same thing over and over and over, yet they expect a different result. That is a form of insanity, meaning your brain doesn't work right. You can't do the same thing over and over and think you're going to get a different result. It's like the old saying, a zebra can't change its stripes. A leopard can't change its spots, because that's just the way it is. Ralph says the doctor told him to give up soft drinks, and he listened and things got better. Absolutely. If you'll do what the Father tells you to do, whether it's a spiritual matter, a medical matter, or a relationship matter, things will get better. There is no doubt about it. It will get better. The problem is our people are lazy and they're narcissistic to the point where they think they can do whatever they want. Or as one guy told me, who used to be on this show as a guest once in a while, I'm tired of you telling me what I can and can't eat. Now, can you imagine that? In this world of bullshit that we have right now, all this insanity going on, somebody's going to have the attitude that I'm tired of you telling me how to fix my problems, because I want to eat whatever I want to eat. And I told him the same thing I'll tell everybody, and I have told him for 22 years. You can eat anything you want. I don't care. I really don't care. Just stop bitching to the rest of us when your body is falling apart. Do us a great big favor and just keep on doing what you're doing, but stop bitching about it. Stop crying on the rest of us, our shoulders, that you're having a health problem when you have no intention of getting better. And that goes whether it's a mental problem, physical problem, emotional problem, or whatever. If you don't recognize you got a problem, just like a drunk, you can't fix a drunk until he realizes he's a drunk. If you don't realize you have an emotional, physical, or whatever imbalance, what are we going to do for you? If you don't realize that you're a creation of the Almighty Father, Yahweh, who came to this earth upon with put on flesh and became Yeshua to walk amongst us and to teach us, if you don't think you need him in your life, what are we going to do for you? Why are you even here listening? Does it just make you feel good? Well, I listened to some kind of words today that sounded kind of biblical, so it makes me feel better about myself. Really? So you don't actually have a relationship with the Father? You don't actually believe? You have deluded yourself that all you got to do is once a week or twice a week listen to somebody talking about the Father? And that makes you feel like somehow you're covered? It's a relationship, people. Yahweh and his truths can't do a damn thing for you if you don't implement what he says. It's really that simple. How is America and the rest of the world reeling over this whole pandemic farce? Fake and phony from the beginning. Why are they reeling from it? Because they lost the ability to think for themselves. And they have no willpower. They so much want to be accepted by the authorities. They so much want their neighbors to say good things about them. They'll actually put a dirty diaper on their face so that they fit in. That's how weak and illogical people have become today. They don't even think for themselves anymore. They just react. And they become so pussified that being called a name or being looked at strangely or having an altercation in the store with the manager scares them to death. Now, is it something all of us want to do, be confrontational? No, most of us don't like confrontation. We want to be left alone. However, when it comes to your health and well-being, if you're not going to stick up for that, then what the hell good are you? Really, answer me that, please. Call in. Let me keep the queue open here so in case somebody... Come on, I want you to explain it to me since I'm just a guy here talking and I don't know what I'm talking about. At least that's what some people think. All right? I don't know what I'm talking about, so call in and enlighten us, all you brilliant detractors that are out there. Call in. You can build a better mousetrap. Well, then tell us how you're going to do it, please. Please, we're waiting with bated breath. Come on. Stop sitting there acting like you're some kind of expert. Get off your ass and do something. Typically, the critics just get in the way of people that are actually going to get something done, as my father taught me as a boy. Right? It's easy to sit on the sidelines and criticize. If you can't do it better, then shut up. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. So the prophecies are coming true. And again, if you, I sent it out to a bunch of people. It's also on the Daily Mail page, the interview with Dr. Lee Merritt. And again, I'm not saying that Dr. Lee Merritt or Mike Adams are perfect. Who the hell is perfect out there that you're going to listen to? Again, we're glad to take the call, and you can tell us how you're perfect or you know somebody that's perfect 100% of the time, all right? They not only have absolutely pure white blood in them, but they're brilliant, and they've never made a mistake. So you tell me who it is, I'll be glad to give them a call. So you have to have discernment. If you don't have discernment, you're lost, so you might as well shut it off and just go enjoy what little life you got left because there's no hope for you, all right? Really, I'm just being honest. Right? There's nothing that's going to help you. So our nurse, Ella, says here, renaming a cold or flu will not make it a new disease like COVID. Yeah, COVID doesn't exist. COVID is just a term. Coronavirus has been in medical journals for at least back to the 1960s. Cold and flu and rhinoviruses, et cetera, but all in there, they're called coronavirus. All right. So once again, they're playing on the fact that you came through government schools, and so you're probably as ignorant as you can be. So all they have to do is pull an archaic term out of a medical journal called coronavirus, and they know most of you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. And so you're just going to buy whatever lie a person like Fauci or Birx or any of these other automatons tell you because they got a lab coat on. Some kind of little banner comes up and says, head of the NIH, and you people buy it. How easy is that? How easy is that for Satan and his kids? All they got to do is put a show on. Why do you think, excuse me, why do you think a government organization like NASA, one of the very first things they did when they came into existence was hire a bunch of Disney movie producers? Now, come on. That's it. That's it. Crank that little crank on the side of your head and get the brain going. There you go, just like an old Model T Ford. Crank it up there. Get those gears turning. Come on now. Why would a, quote, space agency want to hire a bunch of Hollywood producers? I'm just asking. So if you got the answer, and that includes you, 1488, if you got the answer, call in. You tell me, why would they hire a bunch of Hollywood producers? And again, you can believe whatever you want. It's when you start criticizing other people for their beliefs and for their look on things, that's when we're going to have a rub. It's like my grandfather used to tell me all the time, too. If you don't have anything good to say, then shut up. Constructive criticism is always welcome, but just plain old criticism, you can keep it to yourself. It's not productive, it's not helping anybody else, and generally just pisses people off. Period. Okay? Doesn't matter what we're talking about. So today in the United States and all of our white countries, we're seeing treason within, and it's nice to see people with credentials, including Dr. Merritt, talk about the fact that either these people are 100% incompetent, which is a bad thing, or they are part of this conspiracy and they are outright traitors, which is what most of them are. And not only are they willing to commit treason, but they are prostitutes. They're doing it for money. And again, what we have done today in our white nations is we have become like the Jew. And again, you can go ask a rabbi if you don't think I'm right. Jews do not believe in a hereafter. They don't. They know that this is it. They don't have a, quote, hereafter. So everything to them is based on what they can get away with here on earth. And that's why they worship and love money. So now they have Judaized the rest of us, or a large percentage of our people, into thinking like Jews, where if it puts money in my pocket, I'll do it. So why do hospital administrators go along with the lie? Because there's a very big paycheck form from the government and insurance companies, tens of thousands of dollars into their coffers if they just shut up and go along. Why do doctors go along with it? Because they're whores. Why do some of the nurses go along with it? Because they're whores. Okay, now there may be a few of them out there that are just completely ignorant because they're incompetent, but a lot of them are actually whores. They have money to make in it. And I told you the story about the folks at the American Legion. The lady was a bartender. Her husband is an officer in the Marine Corps stationed down here. And when the boys were being pulled out of Syria, I made a comment about how good that was. Our boys are no longer over there dying for some useless political reason. And her first words were, well, we're not happy about it, meaning her and her husband, the Marine. And I just looked at her, I go, why in the hell would you not be in favor of it? Well, let's just say we're heavily invested. So what does that mean in regular vernacular? Heavily invested means that they have stock in some kind of a defense contractor or whatever, and they're making a boatload of money. Why did one of the ladies related to one of our listeners say that she was so happy about the mask mandates and vaccine program? Because their family is invested in the pharmaceuticals that are making the vaccine, so they're making huge dividends. Again, follow the money. Follow the effing money. And that's why the world is in the shape it's in, because people no longer have integrity. They can literally be bought. And here's the funny thing. One of the prophecies that we're seeing, Phil, is when the prophets told us that Israel would be sold back into bondage, meaning Jacob Israel, we, the white race, that portion of the white race that came down through Jacob, Isaac, okay? That portion has sold themselves out, okay? They have sold themselves out, and they're buying it, and they're going along with it. So we have the treason within, treason within. Now, I didn't finish up what I was going to say about germ and terrain theory, because there's two books written out there that you can see. I'm getting a lot of messages and stuff here. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah, thank you. The two books I'm thinking of were written about Bacomp and Pasteur. The first one was written by Ethel Hume, H-U-M-E, and it was called Bacomp or Pasteur, A Lost Chapter in the History of Biology. And it's a good synopsis of both of these men and what was going on at the time. And then the book that was actually written by Dr. Bacomp, whose actual name is Pierre Jacques Antoine Bacomp, and the name of the book is The Blood and Its Third Element. So if you get a chance to get a copy of those, PDF copies are available. And if you can't find them, or if they're very expensive, some of these old books are extremely expensive when you can find them. And so people have made PDF is an electronic format of these books that you can read with any kind of PDF reader or a Kindle and different things like that. So learn the truth, folks, because we're being inundated with lies and deception, and there is an outright treason going on. I was also sent an email today, or I should say yesterday, that was talking about Monday or tomorrow could be D-Day for the remnant of Jacob Israel, in that tomorrow supposedly they're going to say that one of these fake vaccines is going to be approved by the death agency called FDA. So that means it'll be a bigger push for it. And also their government sites are talking about the first people to be sent to these, quote, camps or isolation camps will be those at high risk. So, and supposedly all that will start happening tomorrow. Okay, getting some more mail coming in here. That's the good thing is, so much stuff is coming down on our heads right now. It's waking up Jacob Israel, Yahweh's people. It's waking them up. Kind of interestingly, when our radio show started 22 years ago, we talked about the fact, what will it take for our people to finally wake up? Meaning the white Caucasian Israelites of old in the modern times, what is it going to take to make them wake up? And me and my guests back then, we would often say it's going to take a lot of pain. So in a way, we were somewhat like prophets, and it wasn't just me, it was many of my guests. We were talking about the fact that our people are very stubborn. The Bible calls it stiff-necked. That's a biblical way of saying stubborn. Our people are extremely stubborn, and often it takes extreme pain and suffering before they wake up. And that's what we're witnessing, are we not? So again, prophecy is coming true. Yahweh is applying enough pain, anxiety, frustration, stress, that people are now finally waking up. I got an email from one of our listeners up in Canada, and he was talking about the fact that people are now starting to listen to him. Okay, like most of us, our family and friends and people in the area, they didn't want to hear any of this, did they? Did they want to hear about the truth of the Bible and how we've been lied to, the truth of World War II and World War I and Civil War, etc.? Were they interested? Hell no, they weren't interested. Don't bother me. I've got soap operas to watch. I've got reality TV to watch. I got some poker to play. I've got to go chase women down at the bar. I've got alcohol and drugs to consume. Don't bother me. Well, there's enough pain and suffering going on now that the remnant is starting to ask questions. And our friend up in Canada is not the only individual to tell me that. I myself am being contacted by a lot of people, and here's the beautiful part. They're now starting to admit that they need to, quote, submit, which is what Islam means, by the way. Submission. Submission to who? To the Almighty. Submission to who? The Almighty. Submission to what? Truth. And truth tellers. They're getting the concept of submission because our people have been somewhat narcissistic for a very long time, very self-centered. They think the whole universe revolves around them as a person, woman or man, doesn't matter. And now they're finding out that's not true. Okay? While you were partying, while you were having a gay old time, the enemy has been working night and day to undermine our institutions, the founding institutions like the family, like the church back when it actually had some value. It has no value today. Like most institutions, most centralized institutions, they have no value today whatsoever. Useless. Whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. So they are waking up, and, you know, praise Yahweh for that. More prophecy coming to pass. He said, I'll put you through the fire, just like the refiner puts silver through the fire. We've talked about that analogy and how perfect it is. Silver goes through the fire burns off the bad parts, and when you're left, you've got this nice, shiny, silver-colored material, much like mercury is very similar. But silver, when it's refined, the silversmith will tell you he knows it's clean and pure when he sees a reflection of himself in the silver. Well, that's exactly what Yahweh's doing to you and me. When he sees a reflection of himself in you, the fire is no longer needed. So you want all this idiocy that's going on to go away, then you need to look in the mirror. And what have you done to refine the silver in the mirror, meaning you? What have you done to refine you so that you reflect our Heavenly Father, the Creator? And again, for the poor folks out there that really think that we're just here by accident, I feel sorry for you. I mean, the evidence of intelligent design and a Creator is everywhere around you. For you to believe that you're here by an accident is just beyond my ability to fathom how you can do that. How many things that are obvious and right there in front of your face that you have to ignore to believe that evolution exists and that you got here by evolution? Okay? Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, one of the things that the two doctors, or Dr. Merritt and Mike Adams, we're talking about is, why have people become so submissive to the wrong individuals today? Why are men so pussified? Why are people in general so easy to comply, even when it causes them physical harm? Okay? Why do they do that? Well, we've talked about that many times. And scientists have come out with articles about this as well. Remember, birth control was put on the market for two reasons. One, birth control loosened up our sexual values. Because back in the old days, if you slept with a maiden, there was a very good chance you were going to impregnate her, which was a detriment. Most of the girls, especially the ones that cared, they're not going to let you basically have what you want, boys, because they were not going to get pregnant and have you go walking down the street while they have the child. So they were not going to give that up easily. Also, they were trained from the time they were little girls that that was a very sacred part of their body, and it was not to be given up easily. So along comes birth control, and it just blows all that out of the water. So the Jews did that for that reason. That was a big reason, but there was a second reason. Birth control pills contain a high level of estrogen. Estrogen being a hormone, and it is very high in females, not so high in men. We don't need it, just like testosterone. Testosterone, another hormone, is very high in men, but there is a small amount even in women. And we need those two, both of them. We need those in our bodies in balance for us to function properly. What happens when you flood the water system with estrogen? Now males are ingesting way higher levels of estrogen than is normal, and so they're becoming effeminate. What happens when women get an overdose of estrogen? It throws off their chemistry as well, and they start behaving more like men. Strangely, it's so. So we have two poisons in the water system that are affecting us greatly. Estrogen, which tends to make men act more like women. They become very emotional, which is evident if you see guys today. I'm actually appalled at many of the males that I see walking around today. And the other thing that they put in our water was fluoride. Now, I had an argument with a lady I was working with, she was a dental hygienist as well, and she's arguing with me that fluoride is a good thing and it's not a poison. I said, are you that ignorant? And she said, what do you mean, am I that ignorant? I said, well, fluoride has a skull and crossbones on the containers that it comes in. That's a sign that it's the poison. I said, so you're arguing with me that fluoride's not a poison, but the container it comes in labels it as a poison. You see how convoluted and cognitive dissident we have become? It's unbelievable. The container it comes in has warnings all around it that it's a poison, but people actually think fluoride's not a poison because the propaganda says, oh, it's good for your teeth. There's only a tiny bit of truth to that. When fluoride is applied directly to the enamel, it tends to make it a little tougher and desensitizes it. And that's all. That's all. And that's only when applied directly to the enamel and nowhere else. Now, are you putting fluoride in your body? Yeah, you are. When you drink fluoridated water, you're putting it in your body. And nothing in writing says fluoride is any good to you in your body. Quite the opposite. It is a poison. In your mouth, when it goes under your tongue, that is a fast entryway into your bloodstream. So you're putting fluoride toothpaste on. Your dentist is using fluoride when you clean your teeth. So fluoride is in high concentration. And what's right there in your mouth? Yeah, your tongue. And right below your tongue is a sublingual entry point into the body, meaning a very close to very prolific blood vessels. Just like in the world of natural health, a lot of times you're giving tinctures and things like that. They'll tell you to put a dropper full under your tongue. Why? Because that's a very quick way to get it into the body. So when you go to the dentist's office, you drink that glass of water, you brush your teeth with your fluoride toothpaste, in goes the fluoride. Now, does it do something to you the day you do it? No. It's accumulative, meaning it's over a period of time. It accumulates in the body. That's when the problems happen. So you want to know why our men and women walk around like a bunch of pussified little zombies that listen to what these tyrants are telling us? Well, there's two reasons. Fluoride and estrogen, and the constant propaganda, fear propaganda, because when people are afraid, they don't move. They don't do anything. They just sit there and they acquiesce and, oh, please don't hurt me, blah, 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 blah. Not to mention the fact you've disassociated yourself with real men, okay? You've bought into this feminization of the world and that males have toxic masculinity. Well, I hate to break it to you, but toxic masculinity is what's going to pull our ass out of the fire. And if you don't think so, you haven't read your Bibles. Go read Malachi chapter 4. Go read Obadiah verse 18. And I got an email saying we need to cover that, and maybe we will read Obadiah 18 today yet, if we have time. And we'll go over what it's saying, because that's where we're at. That's where we're at. So again, if you want to figure out what's going on, follow the money. The other prophecies that are coming to pass with all of this insanity that's going on is the separating of the wheat and the chaff, or the wheat from the tares. We've talked about that analogy coming out of Scripture in the New Testament. A tare is another name for a plant that's called the darnel plant. And the interesting thing with so much scripture is the beauty of the analogy. Much like the silver, we're called silver and being refined. Well, that's a great analogy. So is the wheat and the tare. Why? Because the darnel plant, when it grows, it looks just like wheat. When it sprouts through the ground and it's growing, you cannot differentiate between wheat and a tare. They look the same. Does that sound familiar? Our people look the same on the outside. But when the plant becomes mature and produces fruit, the wheat is bent over with a big, heavy ball of wheat grains, golden wheat grains on the end, the weight of it makes it bend over. The analogy, of course, is you have golden fruit, lots of it, and you're bent over in submission to a higher authority, meaning Yahweh, which is the proper thing, and therefore you produce good fruit, you are a good tree, you are part of his sheep. You are a wheat that will be harvested and saved. Meanwhile, the tare grows straight up in the air. It does not bend over. It shows no humility, and it produces little black seeds. Not golden like the Adamic race, but dark. Dark symbolizing ignorance, arrogance, Luciferianism. And little black seeds that in reality the darnel plant seeds are toxic to humans. You don't eat those. You may not die from it, but you will get sick from it. They are toxic. So you see the beauty of the analogy of wheat and tares? It's unbelievable. So again, so many other prophecies are coming true. Dr. Merritt talked about the fact that there is information coming in now, and so did Mike Adams verify this, that there could be a loss of 62 to 63% of the people you see walking around right now could be gone. Where have we read about that? Two-thirds of mankind die. Where have you read that? Yeah, in Scripture. Two-thirds. The end-time prophecies, two-thirds. And it's kind of strange that now these people who are not referring to the Bible at all are throwing around percentage numbers that match what the prophets told us in Scripture. Approximately two-thirds of mankind will perish. The number of people putting dirty diapers on their face and getting this poison put into their body will end up harming or killing approximately two-thirds of mankind. Now, who are the one-third? Obviously, those that don't go along with worshiping the beast. This is all a form of worshiping the beast, another prophecy. Those that, quote, take the mark, okay, which is a face diaper and a jab, those are signs or marks of the Antichrist. So you take the mark, or you worship the beast, which is what? Listening to the government, listening to Fauci, listening to medical authorities that are telling you that the folks out here telling you the truth are actually conspiracy theorists and they're lying to you. Well, if you don't have discernment, you don't know which one's which. And who does not have discernment? The unbeliever, the atheist, the agnostic, the naysayers, the narcissists that walk amongst us. And to be honest with you, I'm at that point in my life is where I'm not going to really miss these people. Some people might say, well, that's kind of cruel and hard, but to be honest, I'm not going to miss them. If they're that ignorant, if they're that full of themselves, if they disdain the living God, if they disdain common sense and logic, if they disdain me simply because I'm telling them the truth, what's that scripture in the New Testament say? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Okay? As Yahshua used to say, it is written. And by the way, for some of the detractors out there, when I quote things in Scripture, not very many people, thank God, but every now and then somebody likes to hit me up for having something out of order. Well, let me tell you something. Scripture wasn't written in English. So when you're using an English version as your source to criticize me, well, I'm sorry, but you're showing your ignorance. The original scripture wasn't written in English, and if you go back to the Aramaic or the Greek or even the Hebrew, you're going to find out word order isn't what's in your English Bible to begin with, okay? And besides that, we're not supposed to nitpick at that level. We're supposed to get the precepts. That's why Christ never pulled a scroll out. When he was 12 years old, he read from a scroll in the temple, but when he was traveling, he did not carry scripture. Why is that? Because he wanted you to get the principles. You can back it up with your search in Scripture if you have the right attitude, but you're supposed to pick up the principles being discussed. That's what you carry with you day in and day out, not memorization of English or French or Spanish or even Aramaic. That's not what he wants. Most people don't have the ability to do that anyway. What he wants is for you to learn the principles being talked about. All right? Now, one of the things that I was sent, and it was quite good, is somebody put together an excellent paper on the prayer of the Jews called the Kol Nidre. And Kol Nidre is ancient Hebrew and probably adopted into the Yiddish language that they use, and Yiddish is not Hebrew. Kol Nidre means all oaths. Kol, K-O-L, is their word for all, Kol. Nidre, N-I-D-R-E, means all vows or oaths. And they pray it every year at Yom Kippur during the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, that's the one day out of the year that the Jewish synagogue's parking lot will be jam-packed because the Jew wants to make sure he gets down there to pray his Kol Nidre. Now, why would the Jews be so interested in praying the Kol Nidre? Well, again, if you contact me, I'll send you a copy of this article that was written, and it's extensive and very, very good, but it basically details the fact that Jews disavow any oath that they take. Now, why is that important to you? Because somebody who has disavowed their oath has basically made their oath of no accord. Their oath is invalid. So every Jew that has taken an oath of office to be in our government is a traitor. Every Jew that has sat in a witness stand in a trial and swore to tell the truth is a perjurer. Every Jew that has ever given a speech and swore that they were telling the truth is a liar and a deceiver. Do you understand why it's important? Every Jew that's looked at you and said, oh, I'm telling you the truth in a business deal or in something going on in your community is a liar and a deceiver. Because that's their religion. Why is religion important? Because when you have people walking amongst you, and part of their religion says, number one, that Christ was a basically vagabond, a piece of shit, and Mary was a prostitute and a whore, that religion is going to treat you the same way. When that religion that says that you are an animal, and we have a right to treat you that way, that's important, don't you think? When your neighbor believes that you're nothing more than an animal here to serve them, when your school administrator believes that you're just a child of an animal and we can have sex with you or sell you off as a sex slave or whisk you away and harvest your organs, do you think that matters? Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Think about it. Okay, it should come to you fairly quick. But again, if you contact me, I'll be glad to send you that article. In the meantime here, let's before we run out of time, I'm going to try to call up here Obadiah. Obadiah only has one chapter. So maybe we just read it here. Let's see. Let's read it in the World English Bible. The vision of Obadiah, this is what Yahweh God says about Edom. Now, we all know that the Edomites, also known as Esau, Edom, Esau, are the people today called Jews. Now, what's the source for that? Well, if you check out the lineage and the biblical descriptions, they match it, but you can go to Jewish sources, such as the Jewish Encyclopedia. And they'll tell you that Edom, Esau is in modern Jewry. Okay, so it's not our saying it, they say it. Interesting, isn't it? So here we go. This is what in the book of Obadiah, Yahweh God says about Edom, "We have heard news from Yahweh, and an ambassador is sent amongst the nations," or the people, saying, quote, "Arise, and let's rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made you small among the nations. You are greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You will dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, who says in his heart, 'Who will bring me down to the ground?'" Now, this is talking about Edom now, the Jews. Have you ever noticed that Jews love cities? Okay, high-rises and everything else. Do you like those, folks? What do high-rises remind you of? Could it be, as in verse 3, the clefts of the rock, high places, no yards, no trees, no greenery, just high up in the place, like a little condominium, an apartment in a tower? Okay, think about it. I'm going to continue here in a minute, but we got a caller. So welcome to the program, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
I know it's a world away, but I wanted to talk about Afghanistan just briefly.
Okay.
And see what your thoughts were on what's going on there. It's pretty brutal. I mean, maybe I'll just be quiet and I'll listen to what you have to say first, and then I'll say what I have to say.
Well, we can take a breather here. Go ahead and say what you want to say.
Oh, it was just, well, I wanted to get your opinion first so that it wasn't corrupted by anything that I was going to say.
I don't have a whole lot to say on Afghanistan because I consider it a diversion and smoke and mirrors to get us detracted from other garbage that's going on. I don't think they give us the truth about anything happening overseas. It reminds me of Syria. What went down there, Vietnam, you can go back even to Korea, same stuff. They have a playbook. They don't really change what they do very often. So to me, Afghanistan's a joke because we were there for the poppy fields anyway. We weren't there because we cared about the Afghanis or Americans. So.
Yeah, well, it's clear that they don't care about Americans. No, I will never leave a fallen comrade to fall into the hands of the enemy, or under no circumstances will I ever embarrass my country. I think
those are
just words to most people, but to a handful of people, they actually mean something. I'm curious about the whole thing because, you know, it's obvious that this is engineered, which is fine. I mean, I was opposed to the war from day one, right? I never believed the official 9/11 story. I mean, you know, the first time I saw it, you know, my first initial reaction was Israel did it. In 20 years, that hasn't changed from the first time I, you know, saw the first tower smoking since WTC2 was smoking. But it doesn't make what's going on right now right at all. Thousands of people, Americans, I mean, they're probably just going to get left there. I mean, from what I can tell, I mean, it doesn't seem to be any kind of rescue operation going on. I mean, if there were, right, there's really only one way to do it, and they're not doing it. So, I mean, but if it were me, I would send in the 160th SOAR out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and rooftop evacuations and get people out of there. But I think they're all just going to be left to be swinging in the breeze, apparently. And it really pisses me off.
Right.
I do need to apologize because I honestly thought that Donald Trump would go down as the biggest sack of shit to ever occupy the White House. But apparently it didn't take someone long to surpass him.
But yeah, it's
evident that there's not going to be any attempt to evac any personnel.
Right.
And it's just really sad. It's just really sad.
When I hear about stuff like that, first of all, again, these people are not sincere about anything they're telling us. But number two, one thing I would want to know is who of our people are over there and why are they there? That would be the first thing I would ask. Why are our people even there? We should never have been in Afghanistan. So who are these, quote, Americans, and what were they doing in Afghanistan all this time?
Well, they're not all scumbags. I mean, granted, I'm sure, a percentage of them are, but I mean, a lot of them are medical personnel, they're translators, they're, relief aid workers that are civilians, right, that were there because they believed in the mission of fighting terrorism. Now, I mean, they may have been deceived, but I've been on both sides of this, right? I mean, I graduated from AIT probably, 3 months before 9/11 happened. So, I mean, I've seen a lot of people go over there. And then, I worked on the civilian side of it as well. I can't really go into what and what company I worked for because it'd make it too easily identifiable. But it's very personal for me. And they're not all bad guys. And most of them have good intentions. The other thing that, people who have never been in the infantry don't understand is that soldiers do what they do sometimes because that's all they can do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to live any other way, right?
And
you may not agree with, everything politically, right? But there's something to be gained there, right? And you just do what you have to do.
That's all the more reason why soldiers should be led by righteous men and not a bunch of political hacks that are going to put them in harm's way for political purposes.
Well, that's impossible in a democracy.
Well, that exactly, but that's what needs to be fixed. Our soldiers should not be over there under any circumstances. We're not there to fight terrorism. That's bullshit. No different than me being a United States Air Force veteran of Vietnam. Was I in the right? No, I was not in the right. I admit that now. Was I wrong? Yeah, I shouldn't have supported that shit. I shouldn't have. Was I ignorant of what was going on? Sure was. Was I propagandized like all the young men that I went in the Air Force with? Yeah, we were propagandized. Sure we were. But that doesn't change the fact that we were actually part of a regime that was up to no good. And so, again, all the more reason why our military men should be led by righteous individuals and not a bunch of scumbags with uniforms on that are doing what they're doing for political gain.
Well, we're all part of that unrighteous regime to some extent, right? I mean, we all pay the sales tax, right? So it's just a question of degree, right? And some of those people that are there, right, they went in under naive pretenses, or maybe, they just grew up poor and they don't have any other opportunities or any other chance to even survive.
Well,
because they were naive doesn't mean they deserve to be just left behind to get fucking butchered.
I understand that. And again, I can't answer how Father works in the individual lives of people. Again, how many of these people are part of his crew and how many of these people are part of the other crew? You and I don't have enough information to know that. So you were saved out of it, obviously, and I got to believe it was for a reason. I was saved out of it for a reason. I had orders to go overseas twice, and the Air Force changed their mind. So I was saved a tour of duty in Thailand and in Guam. I would have went, but the Air Force changed their mind. Now, was that Father's will because he knew I was ignorant or not? That's debatable. We don't really know, but that's also an aspect of what's going on that we don't often think about. Should people be left behind to be victims of any regime? No, of course not. But we're also being lied about the Taliban and what the Taliban's all about. We're also being lied about who funded the Taliban, who funded ISIS, who funded Hamas. We find out, again, our government was part of it, and the Israelis are part of it, and the British are part of it. So we got lies and deception everywhere. So why is the media pushing all this Afghanistan shit on us to do exactly what it's doing, pissing everybody off? they're pissing guys like you off because we're leaving innocent people behind, and that's rightfully so. We should be pissed off. We're pissed off because we're even there. Those of us that know better know we shouldn't even be there. Our boys and girls shouldn't be there. Nobody from America should be there. It's their country. Just because they grow a hellacious amount of poppies to make heroin from and opium and whatever else drug comes out of there is not a reason for us to be there. And so we got, yeah, we just got a gigantic, huge problem because everything is a complete cluster F at this point in time. And it needs to get straightened out, and you straighten it out by getting to the bottom of these things and holding people accountable. We should find the people accountable for us being in Afghanistan and execute them. Right?
Sorry, what?
I said we should find the people responsible for us being in Afghanistan and execute them.
Yeah, I heard that part. I didn't hear what you said after that.
I didn't say anything after that.
Oh, I don't necessarily disagree. I think it's a horrific situation. I mean, the CIA must have brokered some kind of backdoor deal in order to keep the opium flowing.
Sure.
But I don't really know what's going on. I just think that the way that, you know, Americans and I mean, even the Afghanis, right, have just been left to just swing in the breeze.
Right.
It's unconscionable. And it's unprecedented at any government in any military conflict anywhere in the history of the world.
We have a lot to fix.
Yeah.
We have a lot to fix.
Yeah, I understand. I understand, like, you know, the whole wanting to give, you know, Afghanistan to China and the whole thing, but they could have at least brought those people out. But,
well, they want the emotional drama that it's causing. Obviously, if the intention was to evacuate our people, it would have been accomplished, like you said. There's plenty of ways it could have been accomplished. So the plan was that it would not be accomplished for exactly the reason you're stating, because it will piss off a bunch of people. It'll get what they want: chaos, fear, stress, anxiety, anger. It's what they want. That's why they're doing everything they're doing today, whether it's Afghanistan or Syria or Libya or the Middle East, anywhere, South Africa. It's what the Jew wants. He says order out of chaos. So they are at the end of the age. All their chips are on the table. They're all in. This is it right now for all the marbles. So they're generating maximum chaos. And so this is just part of the worldwide chaos, which COVID, that's what that's all about. Okay. So it's all part of that. And I understand being an infantryman, of course, your heart goes out to them, and it should. Okay. Nobody should be left behind. Nobody. I don't care what branch of the service they're in, or if they're there as an auxiliary supporting the military. Nobody should be left behind, but also they shouldn't even be there. We need to root out our traitors and those who are unfit to serve and get them the hell out of our military and out of our government so that this kind of bullshit doesn't go on in the future. It's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous.
That's obscene.
Yep. Amen to that.
Yeah. Well, I won't deny the fact that I'm emotional, but I don't think it's stress or anxiety. It's just anger. I can't remember the last time that I was this pissed off. People think I'm angry normally, but they've never even seen me angry.
Yeah. Kind of funny. Oh, yeah. Well, you can tell. Yeah. You know, and again, that is showing that you have a heart that cares, and they're doing it intentionally because they want it to get to people like you and me and people that care about what's going on, because it's infuriating. You're right. It's infuriating.
All right, that's all I wanted to say. I guess I'll just leave you with a quote then.
Okay.
If that doesn't bother you, then you're made from something different than I am.
Right. You said you had a quote?
That is the quote.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Mike Durant.
Oh, very good. Well, apropos.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Chris. Well, keep the prayers going for the innocent ones over there, and maybe somehow, some way, some good Samaritans will be able to get them out of there or help them in some way.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, Yahweh bless, bud.
Thanks. You too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Chris in the state of Virginia, and he's right. You know, there's a lot of crap going on right now that is just unbelievable, and he's right. Innocent people who were trapped in this situation deserve to be gotten out of there, but it reminds me of Benghazi. It reminds me of, I can't think of the football player right now. Oh, what's his, Tillman? That was murdered by our own people because he was going to come back to the States, much like General George S. Patton, murdered by our own people because he was going to blow the whistle on what's going on. Our military is being used, and General Smedley Butler talked about this in his book, War is a Racket. Just so many things need to be fixed. It needs to be fixed because of the criminality of it, but it takes people with righteousness. And why the enemy, the Jew, destroyed our Christian monarchies. Okay, this kind of thing would not happen with a righteous Christian monarch in charge, rather than these bought and paid for parliaments and congresses and all that the Jew has intimidated, blackmailed, and bribed to the point they're completely 100% useless. Completely. Let's finish up here while we got some time in Obadiah. I think we left off here, verse 3, where the Jew says from on high, who will bring me down to the ground? That's their hubris, which is part of their vanity that the prophets told us would be part of their undoing, because they are extremely vain and in your face with their nefarious activities today, much like what's going on in Afghanistan, really. If you start following the money, you're going to find Jewish faces and Jewish names and Jewish money. Though you mount on high as the eagle, and though your nest is set amongst the stars, I will bring you down from there, says Yahweh. If thieves came to you, if robbers by night, oh, what disaster awaits you. Would not they only steal until they had enough? If grape pickers came to you, would not they leave some gleaning of grapes? Basically saying, you Jews own everything. You've got all the international banks. You've got this tremendous amount of fictitious money created in computers. And that's still not enough. You still have to ruin the middle class. You still have to strip property and businesses and homes from Christians and other people. You still have to do that. That's what he's talking about here. Wouldn't the people that are coming in to steal from you leave something behind, and grape pickers or the gleaners that would go through the fields, much like I see down here in southern Florida, every time they harvest the cherry grapes, or not cherry grapes, but the cherry tomatoes or the grape vineyards or whatever, there's always what they call gleanings, the stuff that's left over when the main pickers come through. And the poor, typically the poor folks, are allowed to go in then and get the gleanings. That's how you take care of the poor. Verse 6, how Esau will be ransacked, how his hidden treasures are sought out. That's the day that recompense will come to the Jew. All the men of your alliance have brought you on your way, even to the border. The men who were at peace with you have deceived you and prevailed against you. Friends who eat your bread lay a snare under you. There is no understanding in him. Won't I, in that day, says Yahweh, destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mountain of Esau? Yeah, look at these Jews today. They're almost like madmen. Look at Rachel Maddow. Tell me those eyes aren't of a crazy, a mad person. Look at CNN's broadcasters. Look at Peter Stroke and James Comey and the rest of these nefarious characters, okay? Don't they look, or like Mark Zuckerberg? Look at that face. Look at those eyes. You mighty men, Tama, will be dismayed to the end that everyone may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter. And again, that's not my words. That's right here in the Bible, right? The mountain of Esau by slaughter. Verse 10, for the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame will cover you, and you will be cut off forever. Now, do we need to have a Bible lesson on what that's telling us? Okay. For the violence you've done to your relative, not necessarily pure brother, but a relative, Jacob, meaning you and me, ladies and gentlemen, shame will cover you, and you will be cut off forever. That's a way of saying destroyed. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried away his substance and foreigners entered into his gates, can you talk about border crossers being flooded into our white lands, and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were like one of them. But do not look down on your brother in the day of his disaster, and do not rejoice over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, meaning our German and German-related peoples. Do not speak proudly in the day of distress. Do not enter into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Do not look down on their affliction in the day of their calamity, neither seize their wealth on the day of their calamity. Do not stand in the crossroads to cut off those who escape. In other words, don't be an impediment to those trying to get away from this Babylonian bullshit. Do not deliver up those of his who remain in the day of distress. For the day of Yahweh is near all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. The day of Yahweh is near, and what you have done will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. Are you listening? For you have drunk on my holy mountain, so will all the nations drink continually. Meaning, you have raped and pillaged this world, you Zionist pigs. Now all the nations will turn around and pillage you. Yes, they will drink, swallow down, and will be as though they had not been. But in Mount Zion, there will be those who escape, and it will be holy. Now, Mount Zion here is talking about you and me, folks, not that piece of crap place over there in Palestine. The house of Jacob, you and me, will possess their possessions. The house of Jacob will be a fire, the house of Joseph a flame, again, speaking of us, becoming a flame and a fire, and the house of Esau for stubble. Now, we've talked about Obadiah verse 18 many, many times. That's a biblical analogy of what I saw on the farm when I was a boy. Stubble is what's left in a hay field when you've cut the hay and you've raked the hay up and you've baled it. The stubble is the pieces of the stalk that are left in the field that dries in the sun. It becomes very brittle and very flammable. So the house of Jacob and the house of Joseph, a flame and a fire, that you and me, the house of Esau, stubble, which means they will be consumed completely. They will burn among them, they being you and I, burn among them, Esau, Edom, and devour them. There will not be any remaining to the house of Esau. Indeed, Yahweh has spoken. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Again, may his will be done. May his kingdom be on earth as it is in heaven. Prophecies are coming to light. Prophecies are coming true as we speak. And for the anguish of our people, and this goes out to Chris and everybody else out there that struggles, because so many of our people are struggling. My phone is lit up every day with Jacob Israel that are struggling right now, whether it's financial, health, relationship, you name it, every day our people are struggling because these are the times that the prophets warned us about. These are the times that Yeshua himself warned us about when he said, you shall see these things come and they will be calamitous, but fear not, for they are a sign that your redemption is near. Okay? Though you don't know the hour or the day, you do know the season that you are in by the signs of the times. So all of us should know that. We're all here for a reason. Everything that you see going on around you is for a reason. You're part of his kingdom. You're part of his family. He's looking for those worthy to go on to the next step. Okay? Henry and other people have been talking here, and they're saying that, and I've got family the same way, that they're being told they're going to be fired for not getting the vax. Well, that's what they're being told. But we also know places that people have turned in resignations and the management changed their mind. My son was told the same thing. I just heard from him that management has changed their mind because he's one of the best workers they have. So, again, it doesn't take everybody to be on board. It just takes a percentage, 10, 15, 20%, that's all. In that dentist office, they had about 40% of the people said, okay, we resign. The lady that owned the dentist's office recanted. And it's happening in many other places. Hospitals are short of nurses. When they say hospitals are being overflowed, again, the devil plays with words. You hear the words, the hospital is overflowing or inundated with patients, but what is really happening is they're losing doctors and nurses who refuse the vaccine, and they are understaffed. So now anybody coming in, even for common ailments, is flooding some of the hospitals anyway due to the fact that they've lost personnel. It's not because there's a pandemic. There never was a pandemic, ever. But they're reporting it to you that way. Do you see how they do that? I have a book, if anybody's interested in it. I'll send you the title and the author, that talks about how language is used as a weapon. It's all part of Edward Bernays, the Jew, when he wrote the books about propaganda and marketing. Notice that they're the same. Getting you to buy a product, getting you to buy an idea. The tools are the same. Exactly the same. And that's why the Jews excel at it. They've been the authors of propaganda and marketing and controlling mass mental processes for decades, many decades. They wrote the book on it. They try to get you to look at Germany in 1920s and 30s as if they were the inventors of propaganda and all this bullshit. That's a lie. Edward Bernays wrote the book on marketing and propaganda back in the early 1900s, long before Adolf Hitler and the National Socialists ever came to power in Germany, long before. You need to wake up, people. You really do. You need to start digging. And again, you don't take anything I say verbatim, ever. Ever. I'm just trying to get people to think. That's all I'm trying to do. So that you do your own research, because you're not going to believe anybody until you figure it out yourself. And the best lessons of life, the lessons that stick with you forever and ever, are the lessons that you solved yourself. That you came to the conclusion yourself. And that's what I'm trying to do. Just give you hints and clues on where you might want to go to dig so that you can solve the riddle yourself. That's the best way. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this time to share with each other. We ask that you would bless Brother Chris out there and bring a Holy Spirit upon him of comfort to know that your will is being done, that these machinations of these characters, these bad actors, is being duly noted, and that retribution and punishment is right around the corner. There's been a lot of bad, very bad things done on this earth, and the culprits need to be called into account for that, both in the here and now and the hereafter. We just pray that you would be with each and every one of us, Father Yahweh. Open our eyes that we can see with clear eyes and with good discernment what's going on. We can see through the lies and deceptions, that we can lift out our hands and lift up our brothers and sisters when they need help, that we can be encouragement to those that are downtrodden, that we can give good advice on health issues and emotional issues, and that your Holy Spirit would just fall upon your people and this earth, as you said in Ezekiel, you know, your spirit will be passed out across this world, and you will raise up a vast and mighty army out of this ocean of zombies that walk around us. Bags of dead bones, dry dead bones in the valley, and they become a spiritual awakened soul when they come to know you and your truths, and then the truth matters and money no longer holds its value. We've been errant children, Father Yahweh. We've followed the ways of men. We turned from the prophets. We turned from you as our leader, and we had government of men, and we've had that for thousands of years, and it's always been bad. Governments run by men are always bad. Again, we repent of that. We call for you to come back and take the throne. Take away all the nonsense going on. Destroy those that deserve to be destroyed and lift up those that are wise and righteous in your eyes. Again, forgive us our sins. Guide us in all that we say and do. And protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.